It's time for your weekly dose of Wayne's Comics.
Welcome to episode 360 of the Wayne's Comics Podcast. As always, thanks so much for listening. There's probably no better way to celebrate the holidays than to bring back a favorite here at the podcast, and that's Sam Johnson, the creator of many good things, including Geek Girl. He's got some great news to share with us and to update us about as far as his character and the series that he's doing. We talk about what's going on, as well as what we might expect in the future from not only this wonderful series, but other things that he's doing. So I'm sure you're going to enjoy what he has to say. There's a lot to get to in this episode. So let's get on with the show. It's the return of Sam Johnson, the creator of Geek Girl, and Cappuccini, Voodoo Hit... Oh, gosh, I always forget that last part. How's that last part go, Sam?
Cappuccini, Voodoo Junkie Hit Woman.
That's right. I always miss the junkie part. So, yeah, that's going on. So, you got big doings in terms of Geek Girl. Why don't you fill us in on what's going on?
Okay. So, the current series we're on, which is the second series, is the... In the aftermath of the first series, Ruby Kay, who was the hot popular college chick who landed a pair of super tech glasses that gave her super flight and strength powers, but when she tried to demonstrate them to her clique, she alienated them with the exception of her best friend, Summer. Alienated them by being super klutzy, knocking drinks over their expensive dresses. Summer was behind her, kind of pushed her into being a superhero. Ruby ended up taking on a big bad lightning storm who was trying to trash and take over their city of Maine. Ruby defeated lightning storm but ended up in a coma. Summer now has the glasses and is trying to fill in for her, feeling a little bit guilty for kind of pushing Ruby into the whole superhero thing in the first place.
And that's the end of issue one, right?
Well, that's the end of issue one, and that's where we are going into the new... Well, that was the end of the first arc, okay. As in the first miniseries, which there's a collection of, and then with the second miniseries, we start with Ruby in a coma and Summer trying to do the do.
So now you've got more issues out, right? That was the first issue. I understand you've got, what, two and three is out now?
Yeah, we're up to issue three. So Summer's struggles have continued, and we're also reintroducing an issue three. Well, she's kind of got a cameo in issue two, but Nina Dante, who's like a uber alt chick who's got a cybernetic eye, which is just for show. It's like sort of taking it to the next level beyond like tattoos and piercings. Anyway, she's got a bit of a following online, and her clash with Ruby was filmed and has become quite popular. So she's quite interested in sort of reproducing it, but this time kicking Ruby's ass rather than getting her ass kicked. So she's having some dealings with a gentleman called Johnny Carlyle, a character of dubious morality, who I've wanted to introduce into my comics for some time. And, yeah, she's trying to get some an upgrade off of Mr. Carlyle so she can go and kick Geek Girl's ass.
And if I remember correctly, that takes place in number three, a lot of that stuff. So that's good. So why don't talk about... So let's talk about number two. There's some big developments going on as far as that goes. I don't want to spoil stuff. I don't know how much you want to spoil. This is the hard part about talking about these books is there's lots of good things going on, but I'm desperately afraid I'm going to spoil stuff you don't want to spoil. So I'm going to kind of have to depend on you to talk about the stuff that needs to be talked about and not necessarily talked about. So as far as number two goes, when did number two come out?
It was about 3 months ago now, I think.
Okay. So it's become, and number three then is just, has that just come out?
Is fairly recent.
Okay, so that's good. So, yeah, it's got a lot of good stuff going on. Gosh, the biggest thing that happens in number two, I don't want to necessarily spoil.
Yeah, I'm trying to skate over that one as well. Because basically, when we get to issue four, then they'll. It's really hard to talk about that one. Basically, what my feeling on it is that there is a big thing that you may not see coming in issue two, which kind of changes things, and it also doesn't go the way I think Summer would expect.
Right.
Now, until people are up to speed, it kind of, it's really something to leave alone, I think, because I made a big thing with the first three issues of being careful what I say about what happens in issue two, and also like not giving anything away on covers. So if you've seen the cover for issue three, that's not going to spoil issue two. So I think that we have to leave that. And that's something that I can talk about when we get to issue four.
Okay.
But another thing that's going on that's a big part of the series for the resident, what's left of the resident superheroes of Maine after Lightning Storm hospitalized Ruby, hospitalized Pitbull, who's managed to recover, hospitalized Neon Girl, which, without the exception of Pitbull, pretty much left the feeling Geek Girl. But so what's happened is Lightning Storm trashed points of authority in Maine. She took out two police stations, so superheroes are down, law enforcement's down, and criminals are coming out of the woodwork, and the League of Larcenists, a quirky bunch of individuals, are looking to, they've got tech, and they're looking to sort of make a name for themselves and grow to their aim by the conclusion of this arc is to become the Legion of Larcenists. And they're, despite having their quirks, which they certainly do, I think we discussed issue one back in the day with Pighead and his sewn together human and pig head. So he's got half a pig's brain and he's quite an aggressive character. The League are growing with Chromex, a pseudo street talking robot, having been added to their ranks, as well as Terry, the guy who's rubbed Pighead and up the wrong way and has been saddled with the unfortunate code name of Numbnuts.
That's one of the sequences we get to see in the books, is that where they decide to get code names. And that's where he assigns different people different names and stuff like that. I found that to be an entertaining segment because you always wonder when these groups get together, how do they do this stuff? How do they come up with these names? Well, we actually get to see a process where that happens. It's kind of fun to watch.
Yeah, I mean, the idea was that some of the crew just wear balaclavas, but they've got like the League of Larcenists, they've got a bunch of a box full of masks, and they basically try and find a good fit. So like one of the other guys in the crew has got the hots for this newbie, so he decides to call her the Fox and give her a fox head mask, and then Terry, unfortunately, they can't find anything that suits him, and then someone chimes in that they just heard his wife made him have a vasectomy, so that's how he ends up with his name. Chromex is known as a slightly odd, quirky machine. Chromex doesn't need a code name, but we're going to get to the point where in issue four, when we become a Legion, and things are going to get a little bit more rocky. So far, only Terry is cop for the sort of demeaning moniker, but there's another guy, a slightly larger gentleman joins in issue four and gets labelled with a chicken mask and being called KFC. So there's, you know, not everyone's those on the receiving end of these names, not all of them particularly dig it. And there's a kind of alliance brewing within between Chromex, who kind of falls in with them due to circumstances that come about at the beginning of issue three, So he hasn't sort of actively decided to join them, or it hasn't actively decided to join them. So there's conflict brewing, mm-hmm. and it's building to within that conflict will be within as the league do become Legion, mm-hmm. which is the cover for issue four, Geek Girl versus the Legion of Larcenists. Mm. And we've got a slam bang climax coming, a big battle that, and also the biggest for me shock moment of the series coming in that as well.
Okay. So one of the things I really like, Terry and his conflict with Pighead is kind of funny. He's actually one of the more normal ones of the bunch. He's kind of an average guy. He's got family to deal with. He's got things going on. And when they start to give him a code name, he doesn't really take to it all that well, which I got a kick out of. And I like the fact that they're not necessarily all getting along well in there. So I like that.
Yeah, there's definitely some, there's a few things going on, and as I say, there's this, as well as this sort of kind of underlying resentment between Terry and overlying from Pighead's part, we've also got this interest that Mongo, another one of the crew, has in this girl who's christened the Fox, and Mongo is he wears Mongo out of Blazing Saddles, mm-hmm. His mask, as I say, this guy that they call they very generously label with the name KFC, mm-hmm. is there's more to him than meets the eye. So these guys are putting this legion together, but there are cracks there.
It should be fun. I still get spooked out by the guy who's half pig-headed, shall we say. And I just, you know, even Terry gets spooked out by that some too, you know. So I got a huge kick out of that. I had to relate to him because that was kind of my first thing about that too, was the fact that, you know, he's got a pig head melded to his head. And I related to him in the sense that from when he looks at him and starts talking with him about the names and stuff like that, well, you got a pig head, he goes.
Well, yeah.
And then he doesn't really take to that very well.
This is one of the ways that Terry puts his foot in it, because he was, I forget quite what the bit was, but it was sort of questioning the code names, and he understood that pig head wasn't a code name, that it was actually pig head's real name, but pig head's great offense, mm-hmm. at this suggestion, and Terry's like, well, you have got a pig head, mm-hmm. And this, it's, you know, it doesn't, it's clearly a bit sensitive about having his head welded with a pig's, yeah. So that is his code name, that's not his actual name apparently.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now I don't know how much you want to spoil about other parts of the book, but we get to see that Summer is really quite heroic, and she doesn't necessarily need superhero powers to be able to, you know, stand up to the bad guys, as we discover in there. And I really, that makes me really feel for Summer. She's really quite a, you know, she really believes in all these good things, you know, and doing right and defending people and stuff like that. Even when she doesn't necessarily have all that she would like to have to get into a fight with.
Yeah, I mean, her heart is absolutely in the right place, but she's out of her depth, but she is really trying, as I say. She only sees it, she, you know, as I think you mentioned in the first issue when we talked about that, mm-hmm. that she's really taken aback when Pighead, not Pighead, when Pitbull, mm-hmm. suggests the idea that, you know, while Summer's coming out, like she's just doing it, and, well, Pitbull's like, yeah, but, you know, maybe, just think about it, Ruby maybe doesn't come out of this coma, mm-hmm. and she hadn't even conceived of that. So she's just trying to do what she can, and then in we see that kind of escalates, and we see she really puts herself on the line, yeah. in issue three. Mm-hmm. And then in stark contrast, we have the rest of the clique, Ruby and Summer's girlfriends, who, now that Ruby's popular, want to ingratiate themselves with, back in with her. And it's kind of for selfish reasons, really. They want to be part of what's popular. Yeah. And Eat Girl as a brand, having stopped Lightning Storm is popular, whereas the supposed superhero Ruby Kay, who all she'd done to demonstrate her powers was accidentally ruin her friend's dresses, she wasn't so cool in their eyes. But that's all flipped now, and it's Summer that's out in the cold.
Yeah, I like the Summer character. I don't know what plans you've got ultimately for her, but she is such a heroic character that I hope she hangs around for a long time and gets to do things.
Yeah, I mean, the arc of Summer, as I've always said, Summer is not intended to be a legacy hero. It's not going to be Summer Geek Girl forevermore, but we have what I feel is a very satisfying arc for her and that runs from issues 1 to 3. And then we'll have a different status quo in issue 4.
Okay. Well, I'm anxious to see what happens to her because I really do like her as somebody, you know, who is, we've talked about the fact that she is the one that understands superheroics better than pretty much anybody else in there. She's familiar with comics and all these kinds of things, and she's used to how superheroes function. So for her, it's quite natural for her to do the things that she's doing. You know, Ruby, not quite so much. That wasn't her deal. You know, when she got the abilities and stuff like that, it was Summer who kind of coaxed her into becoming Geek Girl, which is interesting.
Yeah, I mean, the linchpin of the series always is the relationship of Ruby and Summer. So, like, you know, in issue one, beyond issue one, it's the driving force for what Summer's doing. And Summer is, you know, as I say, this is not intended to be Summer is now going to be Geek Girl forevermore, but Summer isn't going anywhere.
Mm-hmm, good. Well, that's good to hear, because you know, after issue 3, you have to wonder. You know, poor thing, really.
Well, yes, she does. She has a hard time of it in issue 3. I think that's fair to say.
Yeah, that's why I was kind of hoping she still hangs around, because I don't want to lose her. She's a really good, you know, character as far as this goes.
Yeah.
So, anybody who stands up to people, I feel a lot of sympathy for.
Yeah, no, she is. I mean, as I say, in the role of Geek Girl, her heart is in the right place. I think she's quite lovable in that role. So people that aren't familiar with, you know, Ruby's arc from the first volume, this is designed to, you know, you can come on board with this one and get on the Summer train.
Mm-hmm. Well, she's really good. I really like her. And, of course, she's the one that I'm trying to remember. Did she come up with the costume?
Yeah, because they're both at college, and Summer's dorm walls are adorned with superheroines and superheroes, and it was, you know, as I say, it was her idea, and she's a fashion student, so she designed the costume. So she is, without Summer, there wouldn't be Geek Girl, no doubt.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting you're talking about her friends and how now they've taken a shine to the whole notion of the fact that Ruby has been a superhero, and that changes their perspective on her. You know, they go to the hospital room, I think, in the first issue and of the series. And so she's, you know, it's interesting to me because I don't know that real people, you know, this is a real good exploration of what people look up to and what they admire. You know, if we really had superheroes, would girls like that really take a shine to that? You're posing the question. And I kind of like that. I don't necessarily buy the fact that they would. You know, so why don't you talk about that a little bit, about their, you know, change your perspective when it comes to Ruby and all that stuff.
Okay, well, I think it's not so much, you know, Summer is the superhero fan. The other girls, Karin being the sort of head of the clique and the meanest of the mean girls, it's not so much from their point of view. It's not like, ooh, that's a superhero, that's amazing, because as we said, when Ruby initially got the powers, they had a raised eyebrow about it. It's because Ruby, having saved the city as Geek Girl is now popular. Geek Girl is going to get followers on Instagram. So it's more, from their perspective, it's more like a sort of a Kardashian type.
Okay, it's because she's recognizable. Is that the thing?
Well, she's popular. Mm-hmm. She's popular. She saved the city, so she's popular. They wouldn't particularly care if she never did any superheroing again, as long as she remained popular. That's they're about. If it's popular, they want to be part of it. So if Ruby had fought on in obscurity, no one knew that Ruby was Geek Girl, and she didn't get any news coverage, and all she did was stop the occasional mug or anything like that, they still wouldn't be interested.
See, that's the interesting thing about this. I mean, what if Ruby doesn't, you know, what if she stays in a coma and she can't be Geek Girl anymore? You know, this kind of stuff. It's an interesting thing to explore their opinion of her as this stuff develops, because it's really, you know, I just look at them as, you know, because I knew people like that when I was in college and high school.
Yeah.
And they, you know, they are users in the purest sense of the word. And and so to me, I always look at them with a great deal of skepticism and how they just.
Absolutely.
And so when they, you know, are when they go to the hospital room, for example, I was just kind of looking at them going, oh boy, here we go. They're just going to try to take advantage of the situation, which is what they always will do. So, yeah, I even if they were to befriend her greatly at this point, I would still be really skeptical about the whole business, because I don't buy it. I just think that, you know, that their motives are such that she's not going to benefit from being their friend. They're looking to benefit from knowing her.
That's absolutely it. I mean, if you look at the conversations we've got, Karen, who doesn't even make an appearance at the hospital, Stacy, who's the one that kind of was involved in Ruby getting the glasses by dubious means, by getting the horny geeks, the super power, the college brainiac who'd invented the superpower glasses, by getting them drunk and winning them off them in a game of strip poker, winning the glasses, often taking advantage of the libido. And if you look at the conversations these girls have when they're talking about visiting Ruby, it's kind of they're kind of trying to one up each other. It's like, well, Karen hasn't visited you in hospital, you know, I came and visited you in hospital, and this kind of thing. So it's a selfish agenda for sure.
Yeah, which is interesting, because, you know, Geek Girl, regardless of who's in the uniform, is doing things to help others.
Yeah, so that's not their primary.
No, that's the thing. How either one of those two interacts with the group, to me, is always sort of, I'm always kind of like, how long can that possibly go on? Because, you know, they're so different from the rest of them. How can they, you know, maintain any kind of friendship?
Yeah, well, I think Ruby's, you know, arc, and indeed Summers, are there, you know, they're college kids. They're still growing. And Ruby, at the end of the first miniseries, is a heroine, which she totally wasn't. I mean, she was quite superficial and selfish at the beginning. And, you know, she got the glasses on a whim. But they grow. And that's one of the things I'm interested in doing is character arcs and seeing how they grow. So with Ruby, we see her, you know, unlike Summer, she has a propensity to do a good job with this. And she grows into the heroine and makes the sacrifice that she made. And then with Summer, you know, she just absolutely puts herself on the line for Ruby, and as I say, that kind of things start to go downhill for her early, and then by issue three, it's quite brutal.
Now, I don't think it's given away too much to talk about Summer. We talked about the fact she's still going to try to be heroic when she doesn't necessarily have all the ability to do so, let's just say. And it's, what's interesting is she gets in trouble, and who does she call on? But Pitbull.
Pitbull. Well, Pitbull is kind of taken her under his wing, but as we see early on, he's kind of dubious about whether she's got the chops for it. But we have got another superheroine making an appearance soon, which I won't spoil. That comes into it in issue three, and this character's very angry about what's going. We're just very angry in general, I think. But she'll be picking up some of the slack, at least.
Okay. Now, I do want to ask one more question about Summer and Pitbull, because let's just say that for any reason Summer was to decide she didn't want to be Geek Girl anymore. Mm-hmm. Would Pitbull still be interested in any kind of relationship with her? Is he looking at her as purely as if she's a superhero, he'll want to interact with her? Is that what his perspective is?
Yeah, I mean, he's there. Mm-hmm. He's the Batman to her Robin because she can't cut it on her own. So he's training her up with the intention of being able to get her to a stage. Well, the idea was when they got together that the intention was, you know, they'd get to a point where they could, you know, handle things separately. But mm-hmm. having spent some time with her and having seen some screw-ups, mm-hmm. Pitbull is now dubious about whether that's actually a realistic proposition.
And, of course, when she calls out for help to him, he's not necessarily happy about that. You know, he emits a curse word that you blink out and with symbols and stuff like that about that. So
it wasn't that he wasn't, because what we're talking about here is, I think, towards the end of issue two, it isn't that he's not happy. It's just he's alarmed because he can tell that she's in danger. Mm. He's happy to come to the rescue if he can.
Okay.
But whether he can is another thing.
Right. Right. The way that response was made me question whether or not he was ever going to, if he could look beyond the superpowers with her. That was the thing I wasn't sure.
No, I mean, that's Pitbull is a popular guy. He doesn't need, you know, he walks into a bar and everyone's like, Pitbull, he's all right for company. He's doing this because he feels she needs it.
Okay. So there's not much of a future there, it feels like.
Possibly not.
We'll find out as things go along. But like I said, I hope Summer is around for a long time. And, you know, I actually like her relationship to Pitbull. I think he's, you know, she's, well, you know, with her superheroic adoration background and Pitbull, who's a real hero, I can see her interest in him. But that's why I was questioning his interest in her if she didn't have the superpowers. So that's I'm fascinated by that. I want to see how that resolves. I'm going to be really interested to watch.
Okay, cool.
So that's got something good. So I like that about that. And again, there's all these good things going on in issues, and I can't spoil them because it's all hinging on something at the beginning.
Well, we've done a very, very good job of covering quite a lot without spoiling anything.
Yeah, so, the thing is the relationships are important in this comic.
Absolutely.
And as such, when you start to really examine the relationships and wonder how things are going to go forward, you know, you can't help but wonder about, you know, Summer and about how she's going to function when things go on. And you have to wonder, you know, when Ruby, should Ruby recover, what's going to be her reaction to all this? Mm-hmm. So it's all, you know, it's all things to watch, especially because the characters are so interesting. And I'm just, you know, I'm fascinated to know what's going to happen with them. Because, you know, you've got four issues. Now, I got to ask you, of course, issue number four, do we know when issue number four is going to come out?
Yeah, it's going to be out in January. And we did a Kickstarter. So all being well, those that kickstarted it will be getting it all being well, fingers crossed, we'll have it before then, but the official date will be sometime in January, which I'll be working out when we're closer to it being completed. But geekgirlcomics.com, you can join the mailing list for news, and there's also the Geek Girl Comics Facebook group. So those will be the places to get the date. And it's an ex, because another thing with it is it's taking longer because it's an extra sized issue. Mm-hmm. We've got a real climactic battle coming with the Legion of Larcenists, which I think is fun, because as I say, there's a lot of things going on there. It's not just a straight, this is the good guy, this is the bad guy, they're going to fight. There's a lot of things, a lot of factors at play, and people with their own individual agendas.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It'll be interesting because Pitbull's still around. He still can help out with stuff like that. And, you know, the various, I'm just always trying to think of, you know, you've got the League of Larceny, or Larcenists, who do you, you know, Geek Girl by herself, no matter who's in the costume, that's still going to be a challenge to fight all those different guys. So she's going to need help with that. And that's why I'm thinking Pitbull, maybe other things, you know, depending on the person in the costume, you know, there might be some people they can recruit to help with that. Because I'd hate to see, you know, one geek girl take on that whole league. I'd like to see her have a little help.
Yes, as you say, it's probably gonna need more than Geek Girl, and there will be help coming from more than one place, and one of which will be quite a surprise, I think.
Good, that'll be fun to see, because I'm enjoying the characters and how they interact, and I'm enjoying the situations you're putting them in. So okay, I'm going to ask a general question, and we'll see whether you want to answer, and if not, I understand, because you cliffhangered us at the beginning of the first miniseries. Are you planning to cliffhanger us at the end of the second miniseries?
There's a surprise thing, which I think is the biggest. You know, the thing we've skirted over in issue two is quite a big surprise. Mm-hmm. But I think no one is going to see this coming. But it's not going to be, because at the end of the first series, we end with, which you can still get on Amazon, Volume 1, Lightning Strikes. Mm-hmm. We end with, the climactic battle between Lightning Storm and Geek Girl, and they're both. Ruby gets electrocuted mm-hmm. in the process of taking down Lightning Storm, and they're both lying on the ground at the end of it, so mm-hmm. we don't know whether either of them are alive or dead. Mm-hmm. It's not going to be that kind of thing, mm-hmm. but without it being a life or death thing, there is this quite a moment, I hope.
Okay, that's very good. So something to look forward to for January. That'll be something to kick off a new year with a new issue. That'll be fun. Mm-hmm. Now, how will we know? I mean, you're talking about the website. That's the basic place. Facebook. Those are the places in which you'll send out word that issue four is out.
Yeah, I mean, Geek Girl Comics Facebook group. There's previews. There's updates all the time. And yeah, if you get on the mailing list, there's no way you won't know when it's going to drop. I mean, what I'm actually looking to do is do a Geek Girl week sometime in January with a few things going on, because we've got like these limited black variants that come poly bagged and some other things, and like there's an announcement to make as well. So it's a good idea to get on board the mailing list or get in the Geek Girl group, because I'm looking to do a whole Geek Girl week thing. With issue four's release being a part of that.
Oh, cool. Okay, that'd be fun to see. Does the lady who used to dress up as Geek Girl, does she still dress up as Geek Girl?
Well, she's had a baby recently.
Oh.
So she's kind of out of the picture.
Oh, okay. Well,
the time being, at least.
Okay. Well, good for her. It's always nice to build a family like that, and never know, after when she gets the baby in tow, she might consider doing that again. That was kind of nice of her to do.
Yeah. Well, she's got a Lady Larkin. It's her Facebook page for anyone who wants to check out her Geek Girl and other cosplays.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so four will be out in January. You'll have Geek Girl Week. Do you have plans for Geek Girl after that? Is that the announcement you're talking about?
Yeah. Yep. Okay. I've started scripting issue five. Mm-hmm. So we're going, I'm hesitant to say ongoing, but mm-hmm. we're not, going back to the beginning of it, with another miniseries. And what is set up in issue four is going to lead to a new direction that I'm excited about. And as some stuff coming into it that I've been wanting to bring into my superhero universe for some time, which starts with Johnny Carlisle being introduced in issue two in the current series, where he comes in and he's a, as I say, a slightly dubious character. He's a power broker. He's the one Nina Dante goes to try and get an upgrade, and he's got he's got fingers in pies, and he's a good man to know if you want to be powered up.
Scary kind of a guy. I tell you, when I read the stuff about him, let's just say at first he thinks he's not going to be able to do something, and then he comes up with something worse. So I was sitting there going, ugh, every time he says he's got something in mind for you, I'd run for the hills if it were me.
Yeah, well, it depends on, on how desperate you are, I guess.
So I got to ask you a question, because it's kind of interesting to me. Comics have certain ways of doing things. Number ones always sell better than number twos or ongoings. So going to number five is because you've done you've done one miniseries, and you've got this series now is going on. So I'm just sort of curious, what made you decide to go like to issue five instead of starting over another miniseries?
Well, I mean, it's always been my intention to take it ongoing if we could get the audience big enough. And I think it's another thing, just practically, I think it's going to get a bit confusing if we just keep going back to number one. Mm-hmm. But it's easily distinguishable with these two series because we've got, you know, the first miniseries, The Lightning Strikes volume, is Ruby's arc. Mm-hmm. And this is Summer's arc, so there's no, you know, it's a clear, you know, this is this and this is that. But it's very much, there's going to be a significant gap between issue four and the next arc, and it very much will be a new direction, a new thing where people can get on board from that. We'll have, you know, like you have sometimes, Image Comics have often done, I think it's like first of a new, they've got like a blazon on the cover, first of a new direction, jump on, that kind of thing. So, also, if I can tell the story I want to tell, the way I want to tell it for the next arc, it requires a bigger than a four-issue mini series. So I thought this was the right. And I'd say the Kickstarter, we've done two Kickstarters now. The second one was a lot on that, and in terms of whether, excuse me, we could, I feel, justify taking it ongoing if the audience was big enough, and it was, and the Kickstarter was a success. So, there's a number of reasons, but all for me adds up to let's go to issue five.
Well, that's good, because I think you've developed the characters and the situations pretty strongly, so I don't have any problem with that. I've always just wondered from a sales perspective. I know that people always want to do a number one. You know, there's big debates because, like, for example, there's a book called Solar Flare that a friend of mine does. And he always does, like, a six-issue miniseries. It'll be season one, season two, season three.
Yeah.
And I'm always kind of, you know, my biggest problem with that is not everybody can follow those things very clearly.
Yeah.
So I'm always curious.
I think, as I say, it's something I've considered. And there's a lot of reasons to go the way I am with it. But I think, you know, there's not going to be any confusion because, as I say, with those two four issues we have, it's clear which one is which. And then when we go to issue five, there is only one issue five. You're not going to be confusing it with another issue five. So from there on, it's, let's say, hopefully from the start and now it's all clear because of the distinction of the two characters. Whereas I think if we had Ruby running around as Geek Girl in both arcs, it would be confusing to someone coming in like, hang on, which issue two or issue three do I want? So I think, it all roads seem to lead to this one. And as I say, the ideas I have for it, what I want to do, which I've mentioned before, my influence from Grant Morrison's Doom Patrol, quite weird out there stuff, which Carbuccini, the Voodoo Junkie Hit Woman was influenced by. And I've got more kind of weirdness I want to introduce, and it requires a bigger palette, as it were.
Well, it'll be good. Now, have you considered putting out, like, collected editions? Are you going to stick with the single issues? How about that?
Well, you've got, I mean, volume one is out. As I say, you can get that at Amazon, like volume one, Lightning Strikes, and we will be collecting volume two. Okay. So, yeah, that's part of it. I mean, Marcosi are the publisher. That's kind of one of their sort of main things, is they're all about collections. So, yeah, that'll be happening. But for the time being, you can still get all three issues of both volumes. In fact, at geekgirlcomics.com, even though something issue three of volume one is on the second print, but you can still get them all in single, and you can get the first one in the trade paperback.
What about like digital issues? Is it on Comixology?
All on Comixology. Okay. Yeah, it's all accessible.
Mm-hmm. So we got to make sure that everybody
just can make sure it. When you search for it to put the geek-girl in, or it doesn't play nice.
Okay, alrighty. So that'll be good. So okay, well that's things are going along real well. Like I said, two and three are great fun. I got a chance to read them, and I really like them. And I encourage people to jump on board. you know, and get caught up with this this series, because it's a lot of really interesting characters. And as I always say, I'm always fascinated by female characters and relationships, just because I'm not. And to me, it's always interesting to see those kinds of things. And I think you do a really great job on making them real. You know, that's the thing I think is important about these characters, and that if this really was a real situation, how would real people react? And I think that's you do that real well.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, that is part of the whole, you know, what I'm wanting to do with it. And, you know, the relationship of Ruby and Summer, and the fact that they're both fallible, and there are real consequences from their superheroing actions. I like to keep it real as much as one can when we're dealing with the world of tights and capes.
Yep, very true, very true. It's really good. Okay, you talked about Cabracini. Is there any more Cabracini coming?
Cabracini, we've got the 4-issue miniseries is virtually done, but what I've decided to do is put that on hold for release, because we're going to be introducing Cabracini as the ex hooker junkie turned supernatural, turned her life around in a manner of speaking, turned supernatural gone for hire. And she's going to be coming into this is one of the weird and wonderful things I'm on about with the next arc. She's going to be coming into the Geek Girl universe.
Okay, that's good. Now, Almighties is another book that you've been involved with, especially with the Avengers movies and stuff doing real well. Any chance of a return of the Almighties?
Yeah, we've had issue one, we've had issue zero. There's a new one been in the works for some time. The problem with it is everyone involved is involved in other things as well. And Eleonora, the main artist, teaches, and Mike, the co-creator, teaches. But it's getting there. I think it's 27 pages, and I think we've got about 23 of them done now. So it's slowly, that's the artwork, it's not all colored yet or lettered, but it's slowly getting there. And we might do a Kickstarter where we bring back the issue one and zero and put the new one on there as well when the time is right. But this one is very much kind of how long is a piece of string in terms of when exactly that will be. But it's there. I'm happy with it, and it's coming on.
Good. Well, that's good. Well, you're a busy guy. You do all this, and you work a full-time job too, as I understand it. So, wow. You know, your creative stuff, you get to use quite a lot, which is good things. I think you've done a good job of developing universes. And I always puzzle over whether you're going to cross these guys all over at some point. Are you going to keep Geek Girl separate from Cabracini and from Almighties? Are they going to be individual universes?
No. I mean, as I say, Cabra is going to be coming into the Geek Girl comic.
Oh, okay.
It's just, it's not going to be, it's not going to be a sort. It's not going to be right. Let's just do an Almighty's Geek Girl crossover. It's got to work in terms of why it's happening, and there are elements introduced, the seeds of which come from Johnny Carlyle in the current series, that kind of facilitate Cabra coming into Geek Girl's world. So it's not like let's just have Geek Girl and Cabra have a fight. It's actually her reasoning for coming into the book isn't actually directly to do with Geek Girl, but obviously they will be crossing paths, and we'll see what their dynamic is, as they're two quite different characters.
Well, that'd be fun. I like those kinds of things. I like when things do like that. Now, even with all this stuff going on, have you got other irons in the fire we should be aware of?
No, I mean, Geek Girl is right now is absolutely my focus. As I say, we're working on getting issue four done, and then we're going to do that Geek Girl week. So I'm going to be putting, you know, a few things into that. As I say, we've got these nice, very limited black variants that come polybagged, and some other things as well. So absolutely Geek Girl at the moment. You know, I'm really invested in it. I'm really enjoying it. It's, you know, the new series is the best received of anything I've done. So I'm very happy with how it's going, and that the audience is building and people are digging it.
Are you going to get to keep the same creative team moving forward? I mean, artists and stuff like that?
Yeah, I mean, everyone is at this time on board, but there is going to be, a significant gap between this arc ending and the next one beginning. So, all being well, if everyone's available, they will want to do it. Mm-hmm. So that's good, because we've had, you know, there was a couple of other people that helped out in the first series, but for the most part, the creative team has been the same throughout the first and second series.
Okay, well, good. The future looks bright for Geek Girl then. So there's good things going on with that. I know you're a big Deadpool fan, and I haven't talked to you since the second movie came out. I haven't watched either Deadpool movie, so I'm going to depend on you. What did you think of the second Deadpool movie?
Oh, yeah, it's great. I mean, Ryan Reynolds is the man. It was great. I mean, they've got the new version of it coming out, the PG Once Upon a Christmas version, which I'm not someone that's big on seeing films multiple times, but they've got this whole bit with Fred Savage, which I presume is like a sort of bit they use to link it together that is going to facilitate them cutting out some of the gore and swearing, and I'm tempted to see that. It's all good. I mean, you know, Ryan Reynolds is the man, and they've, you know, despite the director changing, they've managed to keep the feel, and it's strong. It's really good.
So are you still hoping to write Deadpool someday?
Yeah, but as I think I've mentioned previously, one of my things when it was a driving force was I felt at that time I wasn't seeing the Deadpool I wanted to see. The depth wasn't being explored, and then that's turned around. I mean, I'm behind on my reading, but I'm catching up on the trade paperbacks where we're which we've got, there's three of the Despicable Deadpool, mm-hmm. where basically everything's kind of gone to hell for him, and that's a really captivating arc. So part of my driving force why I really wanted to do it at the time was because I love the character, and I wanted to see the character that we see in the movies, basically. So while I still do want to do it, it's kind of that I feel is I'm seeing the Deadpool I want to see, and also I've got more into, you know, developing things further with Geek Girl. So yeah, I absolutely want to do it, but whereas that was kind of a focus for me, now Geek Girl is the focus.
Okay, well, you know, Deadpool's fighting Black Panther now
in one of the books. Oh, he's fighting everyone. They keep banging out books.
I guess that's a sign he's popular. So hey, even DC made a copy of him for Harley Quinn.
yeah, absolutely. And Harley Quinn, I think the success of Harley Quinn owes plenty to Deadpool itself.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Well, anything else that we should know about, Sam? Are other things you're going on that we should know about, or is this kind of going to keep you busy for a while?
That is going to be keeping me busy for a while, Wayne. So again, just get on board Geek Girl Comics Facebook group, or get on the news list if you join up at the news list, you get free digital preview comic as well as the current series. So yeah, those are the places to go, and I'm going to be keeping it coming with issue 4.
All right, Sam, well, continued success, and keep the good stuff going, because it's fun reading, and I hope that a lot of people dive on and catch up with this, because it's a good book. I think Geek Girl is one of the better female lead character type books out there right now, so I really want people to get into it. And, you know, keep up the wonderful stuff, Sam. We'll look forward to talking with you again sometime in the near future.
Thank you, Wayne.
People need dramatic examples to shake them out of apathy, and I can't do that as Bruce Wayne. As a man, from flesh and blood, I can be ignored, I can be destroyed, but as a symbol.
Get the latest from the comics universe. News, interviews, previews, and reviews. Listen to the weekly Wayne's Comics Podcast, so you can keep reading your comics.
May you enjoy whatever holidays you celebrate this year. So happy holidays. I'll be back next week with more interviews. But until then, keep reading your comics.